Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Winning Family Podcast. Hey, it's Rodney and Michelle Gage. We're excited today to talk about unfulfilled expectations in your marriage relationship. And whether you're married or even single, I really do believe this is going to be an important conversation as we talk about something that many, many, and even us as a couple, we Yes. have had our own set of challenges with when it comes to just expectations
Yes.
that we have of each other.
Yes. In life, expectations are one of our greatest challenges. At least it Yes. is for me because I tend to be a perfectionist and in life in general. And that can be a challenge if you're expecting things of people that they don't even know that you expect of them and they're not meeting your expectations. It can set you up for some disappointments. Absolutely. And especially in the marriage relationship. And we did experience some of that initially. And obviously over the years, we've continued to ever so often, but we've learned how to deal with that. But so I'm excited to talk about it because it really is something very detailed in the marriage relationship that is something that's super important that you have a grasp on.
Absolutely. And, yeah. and I think just even if you missed our last episode, we kind of set the foundation in a lot of ways talking about the unexpected differences that a lot of couples have. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that can spill over into these unfulfilled expectations because, again, right. we're having these assumptions, and they're often false assumptions, that you're going to be a certain way or you're going to think, you know, the way I think about certain things. We're going to be aligned in, you know, the roles that yeah. we're going to ultimately fulfill in the relationship. And then all of a sudden, we realize, oh, goodness, he or she is not meeting those expectations. So it can create a lot of frustration, disappointment. Yeah. And I think especially young couples, if they're not really prepared and they didn't go in with that understanding, it can really lead to a lot of pain and frustration and disappointment.
Right. So, and probably really even any season of life
oh,
that,
absolutely.
You know, there's several different seasons
change.
Of marriage.
Yeah.
yeah. You know, we're in the season where we've passed the season of newlywed. We've passed the season of raising children and children now that are out of the home. So we're empty nesters now. So we've got to experience a lot of things over the 33 years that we've been married so far. And this is a new season that we're in.
But I also think that's one of the reasons why we're so passionate about what we do
yes.
is because now we can, you know,
exactly.
sit from this place of experience where we can come alongside other couples, especially younger couples, those
yes.
who are maybe in the early stages of marriage or parenting. And so we've been there, done that, bought the keychain, worn the t-shirt. We get it. We know, we
yes.
understand. And, you know, I just think it's important that we all get on the same page, especially in our marriage relationship
right.
when it comes to just having realistic expectations.
Yes.
The problem is that expectations often go uncommunicated. And
right.
again, if they're not communicated or expressed, then that's where we get frustrated because we go on these false assumptions. And those
right.
those assumptions can lead us to a place of, again, drifting further apart rather than coming together.
Right.
And so, and it also can really, and we'll talk more about this in maybe the next episode, but just on those needs that often go unmet in our lives.
Right.
But I'll never forget, to give you an example or a word picture here, years ago, back in the day, man, we were so excited. We were having the opportunity to build our first house.
Yes.
And I'll never forget, you know, we went to the paint store and we picked out our paint selection because they wanted to know what, you know, the color of the walls, were, you know, what the color was we were going to paint the walls.
Yes.
Well, I remember this was back in the 90s, man. This was back in the day. And
yes.
they had on this little swatch, this little small piece of paper, was kind of like this light. It was a very subtle, almost like a little pinkish tone, tint.
Peachy pink was the thing back
Peachy
then.
Peachy pink.
Yes.
You know, good night. And so anyway, that was kind of the cool thing. And so we were even, you know, recommended by one of our so-called designers, like, oh yeah, this is really the end thing. So we told our builder, oh, we want this color of, you know, pink, peachy pink.
Yeah.
And so, but then we also went with another color that would kind of like, you know, complement that for our, like our master bedroom.
Yes. So it was a two-story house and the window at the front you could see from the first floor all the way up to the top floor, or the second floor, and our master bedroom was on the second floor. So you could see the main color of the house, and then you could also see if the doors were open, you could see our master bedroom color through the front window.
Yeah, I'll never forget getting that phone call from the builder, and we were out and about somewhere. He calls and goes, Mr. Gage, is there any way you might be able to, you know, swing by the house here? Well, we got the painters here and I got them temporarily on hold because we're all wondering if this is the right paint color. And we're like, what do you mean? And he said, well, I know you wanted something kind of pink, but like, this is really, really pink. And so anyway, we made a mad dash over to the house. And sure enough, I mean, as soon as we turned the corner, the house was like glowing. We're like, what in the world? We walk in and I'll never forget, I came from a, you know, home of all boys, you know. And so I'm thinking, you know, man, let's just get some, you know, Michael Jordan posters or something. Anyway, but no, it was like seriously pink and literally looked like Pepto-Bismol. That was what our master bedroom looked like. And I'll never forget, sure enough, we were just like totally, I mean, we were just devastated because, you know, obviously the painters, they were already pretty much almost done. And but all that to say, it was one of those where reality and expectation just not, they collided. We're not even on the same page.
We had huge vision of how it was going to look.
Yeah.
And it did not turn out the way that we had expected it to turn out, for sure.
But I think that is true in so many marriage relationships where we have this expectation in our mind of the way it's going to be.
Off but then, the little sample that you got.
Yeah. You know, went to read a romance novel or, you know, saw some cool chick flick, you know, at the movie theater and thought, oh, this is the way it's going to be. We're going to live happily ever after. And we go in with these expectations and then all of a sudden, again, disappointment, you know, settles in because, you know, our wife or our husband, you know, we failed to meet those so-called expectations. Mm-hmm. So once reality hits, you know, we can find ourselves being extremely disappointed, even devastated because, you know, and it could be little things, for example, like, you know, we talk about this a lot, but it's worth kind of reminding, you know, the lessons that can be learned. Like you came from all girls. I came from all boys. Your dad, you know, was, the ultimate, you know, girl dad in the sense that, you know, he was very in tune and engaged and very affectionate and loving, you know, in the way he nurtured, you know, you and your sisters. I came from a completely, I mean, polar opposite situation. Mm-hmm. So you had this expectation of me coming into the marriage relationship of I was going to be just like your dad and just that nurturing, loving, affirming, affectionate, you know, kind of, you know, nature, if you will, of the way your dad was. Well, that was not, and still to this day, I'm not wired that way per se.
Right. And I think I knew your personality and I knew the home you came from and I realized all of that. But there is kind of this underlying thing within us, I think, that we just build up what a picture of something looks like, what a picture of your marriage looks like. And most of the time it's based upon what you've been shown. And so I don't know that I didn't know that that was your personality, right, or that that was the way that your mode of operation, but I thought you would change because we're going to get married and it's going to be, you know, perfect. So I figured that you would conform and change and become more like what I thought I would be the perfect marriage. But that's just not the way life works. And we can't change people.
Right.
So we have to understand that our expectations sometimes are not realistic.
Yeah, and I think more than ever in today's social media world, mm-hmm. and you know, we've seen this with young couples. Oh my gosh, the pressure
just for the wedding.
Oh my gosh, just the problem is that again, you know, we're watching and comparing our life with everybody else's highlight reel.
Well, this is true. Yes.
And so you live now with this false, you know, expectation. It is so unrealistic now of mm-hmm. somebody, they had the perfect honeymoon. They just got their perfect first house. They got their perfect new
first
car,
for,
you know, perfect child, perfect everything, perfect job, perfect everything.
Yeah.
And so it's all plastered on social media. Yeah. And so again, you have this expectation is a fairy tale. It's not reality.
Right.
And the moment, you know, we don't get to experience that, the moment our spouse doesn't live up to whatever, you know, expectation is that we have, now all of a sudden, you know, we're thrown into this, oh my gosh, you know, he's not the right one for me. You know, I married the wrong person. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking, mm-hmm. you know, to bail. It's like the old saying, we start out as the ideal and then over time it becomes an ordeal. Before we know it, we're looking for a new deal.
Mm.
So we have to just realize that at the end of the day, and especially if you have the luxury, if you're watching this or you have a, maybe you're a parent, you got kids or grandkids or in that stage or season where they're preparing for marriage, man, I strongly, strongly encourage, you know, pre-marriage counseling is so important. And for couples to talk and to really just get on the same page early when it comes to mm-hmm. clearly defining, communicating expectations of what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
And to give you some examples, you know, whether it is, you know, how you're going to handle money,
yeah,
you know, because we're all different. We talked a little bit about this the last episode, but you know, how you're going to handle money, you know,
yeah.
what are your views on work? Who's working? Are both of you working? Mm-hmm. What is that going to look like? What are the expectations?
When children come.
Yeah. When children come.
What does work look like?
You know, yeah. what's mm-hmm. discipline going to look like?
Yeah.
How are we going to raise our children? How many children?
Right.
And then, church. Yeah. Church.
Spiritual relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know.
And the priorities.
And oftentimes.
Of God in our life. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Oftentimes we meet couples all the time because of our work and what we do who come from different denominational religious backgrounds.
Yes.
And so again, those sets of expectations, well, we practiced this away and, you know, Christmas meant this to us and our family. And, you know, we celebrated this holiday. And so all of these things, mm-hmm. again, if we do not clearly talk about it, and plan for it, if it goes uncommunicated and we're just assume that over time, you know, we're all going to fall perfectly into place, we're setting ourselves up for major, major disaster.
Right.
So, and the problem is that all of these areas cause major conflict.
Mm-hmm.
69%, according to the Gottman Institute, 69% of couples who experienced major conflict in their relationship, it is all stemmed from unresolved conflict mm-hmm. that they just never worked out because of the unfulfilled expectations.
Yeah.
So again, these are some things that we have to just realize. And so, you know, I think couples today now more than ever are struggling with the whole, whether you want to call it work-life balance issues mm-hmm. of, you know, because you have both spouses at work, you know, in careers, and you've got, if you have kids, you know, in the mix when it comes to, especially multiple children,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, sometimes it can be like two ships passing in the night because of work schedules, trying to get one to soccer practice, the other one gymnastics at the exact same time of day after mm-hmm. school. And you have all of these things that are competing for your time. But at the same time, one may have expectations of the other when it comes to spending quality time together,
right.
you know, in date nights, or when are we going to have a little getaway vacation, or when can we just be together? And so often we have all mm-hmm. these expectations, but are we communicating? Are we talking about it? Are we planning? Do we have a vision? Mm-hmm. You know, what are our values? What are our priorities? So all of these things have to be talked about.
Right, right. And I think in the culture in which we live right now, the cost of living and of itself could have been unexpected when you got married 5-6 years ago. And all of a sudden you're facing challenges that you weren't expecting. Even those kind of situations in life come at us when we're married and we're doing this life together. And when it comes to if we're both going to work and how are we going to take care of the kids at this point? And we weren't expecting the price of living to be so high right now. And I think a lot of people are facing unexpected situations right now. And then the things that they expected to happen in their marriage, maybe they're crossing a road right now that they didn't realize they were going to come to.
Right. And maybe the career didn't take off like you thought.
Right.
You know, the timelines of certain goals and aspirations that you had didn't, you know, maybe materialize in a way that you thought.
Right.
And again, there's so many things, you know, those are big, those are obviously big items, you know, when it comes to life and sometimes those curveballs that life has a way of throwing at us.
Right.
But again, you know, you may be a younger couple who's just getting started out and, you know, just even household chores and who's going to cook and who's going to clean and all the little things that become over time, big things. Mm-hmm. But again, it's just having clear communication. And I'll never forget, I heard something, I think Dr. Gary Smalley was the original guy who just kind of laid this out one time. I think it may have been one of his books years ago that really impacted me. And he talked about the 5 levels of communication. And I think this is so, so important because I think couples struggle in this area of communication because when they do try to talk about things, it ends up becoming a point of conflict. It's knockdown, drag out because, again, we see things differently.
Or somebody shuts down.
Yeah, or somebody, just it's the fight or flight kind of a situation. So Gary Smalley said there are 5 levels of communication. And number one is this. It's kind of like the first level. It's the entry level where it really has, you know, there's no threat at this level because you're just talking about cliches like, oh, well, you know, it's like it's going to be a cloudy day today or, you know, or the next level would be more fact sharing like, oh, it's, you know, 90% chance of rain today. Make sure you take your umbrella, you know, on your way to work today. It's going to be raining. Okay, well, we can kind of get by without a whole lot of major conflict with the first 2 levels. Mm-hmm. But it's the third level of communication where things begin to unravel. And that is when we share our opinions. Because now all of a sudden, when you form an opinion about something that is maybe in disagreement with the other person, they have a different perspective than you have, and you express your opinions about something. Okay, now all of a sudden, that's where sparks begin to fly.
Especially if you both got a strong will.
Right. So that is going to be where many, many couples, that is where they often will come to that place of saying, well, we are just incompatible. We just can't get along. We can't see eye to eye. Mm-hmm. We can't seem to agree about anything. And so they just write off the marriage because we are just incompatible. We're not meant for one another. What happens is they never get past level 3. And where God wants us to go is to level 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like? Well, level 4 is this. It is the heart talk. Because at some point, you got to get past the facts and got to get past the emotion of the opinions. Mm-hmm. And you got to get it to the heart. And you got to get to the emotions and to the feelings because that is where the needs that one has, and it could be for security or trust issues. It could be, you know, maybe affection, you know, it could be just feeling affirmed and appreciated. I mean, the list goes on and on when it comes to, you know, respected. All of these areas of needs that we have in our lives have to be communicated. And if we can't get to that place and share our feelings and our emotions with one another, then we're missing out on the opportunity to actually grow and to enter each other's world, become stronger, even in our differences, so that we can come together in agreement and fulfill each other's expectations by connecting with each other's needs. And that really is going to the what is often referred to as kind of like the soul sharing, which is this is the deepest level of intimacy and oneness between a husband and a wife. So the goal for us is to get to those levels 4 and 5 in our areas of communication so we can work past the differences, work past our opinions, work past the accusations and the threats, and say, well, this is how I'm feeling. This is why this is important to me. And as we begin to have a better understanding of who each other are and why we feel the way we feel, and then it comes down to that issue of submitting to the Lord and mutual submission to one another and say, okay, what are some things that I can do to help in this area? What are some things that I can do that's going to take off stress or the weight of whatever it is that you're carrying? And the more we can start working together as a team, coming together, working in alignment with one another, then we can actually move forward and grow in our relationship. But as long as we just stay at that third level and we're just hashing things out and just going at each other about who's right and who's wrong, we're never, ever going to reach our full potential as a couple.
Right. And that, you know, makes me think about kind of a moment in our marriage that just sticks out to me. And that was a time when there were unmet expectations on my end that I was expecting of you. And I think it was, you know, again, the way we were raised and the way we saw life. And I just was so upset that I tried to communicate with you, but because I think we're such strong-willed people that especially at that time in our marriage, we were probably in our late 30s, and we were just butting heads, and I could not hang with you in the way that you could argue with me. I've since learned how to, but I'm teasing.
I've been a great attorney. It's always my dream.
But
be a trial attorney.
It was so hard for me to even talk to you because it was so such a combustion, and we never did this in front of the children. Just to let you know that tip.
Yes,
we
don't do that in front of the kids. For sure.
We would try to work things out, but we were just butting heads, and I just came to the point where I could not any longer try to argue with you with my words. Spoken word. And I decided I'm going to write you a letter. I'm going to write down everything I'm feeling and the unmet expectations that I was feeling. And I thought surely that way you could sit down and read it and process what was going on in my head that I was trying to say out of my mouth. But I was just so, you know, we were just so butting heads that when I gave you that letter and you sat down and read that letter and took a moment to process what I was feeling, that this, I think, is when we went to a next level of communication and understanding with each other, because you came back to me and apologized. Not that I was always right, but at least I knew that I was heard and what my thought was validated, that the things that I was processing in my heart and feeling in my heart, you validated that you understood where I was coming from. Even though you came from a different perspective, you let me know that you could hear me at that point through the words that I wrote down. And I've often given that tip to young couples that they're struggling with their communication, is to write down your words sometimes to help process, not only help yourself process what you're feeling and thinking, but also to give that to the other person, to have time to process what you're thinking and feeling and the unmet expectations that you're going through in your marriage
Absolutely.
Relationship.
And I think it's important, once again, because we're all wired different. We have different personalities. Again, some are extroverts, some are introverts, some are thinkers, some are feelers. And so, you know, communication, that's why, again, it's hard for many couples to get on the same page when it comes to communication, because mm-hmm. again, we're wired differently.
Right.
And you know, it's that verse in James 1:19, I think it is, it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And it's interesting that, you know, it's been said that God gave us two ears and gave us one mouth. Mm-hmm. And I think if we would just stop talking, stop trying to get our way, stop trying to judge or condemn or belittle or criticize or, you know, whatever, and we can just try to listen to what the other person is saying. And that's what you were emphasizing, is that you tried to communicate, but it wasn't working verbally. Mm-hmm. And so you had to write it out. And because you were able to write it out and really get on paper your feelings, it helped me connect those dots to realize, and I was like, dang, I had no idea you were actually feeling this way. I had no idea that you were that hurt. And so, it could have been a thing. It could have been something that either I was doing or something that I wasn't doing, but it was your ability to help me understand and communicate that. Yeah. So,
I just want to point out that James scripture that you mentioned, because everything that we believe at the Winning Family, everything that we are about is the Word of God. And that passage of James 1 is just like gold. Mm-hmm. The beginning, you know, the scripture you mentioned was to be slow to speak, slow to get angry, quick to listen. But the beginning of that passage talks about trials, mm-hmm. difficult times.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. Unmet expectations are difficult. But James says to count it all joy when you go through challenging times, because it's growing you. Mm-hmm. It's growing your faith. It's growing your marriage. If you allow these times, like the illustration I gave a moment ago about writing that out and us working through an argument, a big challenge. Like, to me, it stands out in our marriage as a very difficult time that we were going through. And I wrote it all down. It helped us to grow. Yeah. And I can look back on it with joy. And we can talk about it today because we worked through it. And we want to grow. We want to become better. We want to become all that we can be in our marriage and as parents to children that will one day pass on a legacy of how you led them.
Yes.
It's so important.
Well, that passage, we encourage any person listening to this, you ought to read. I love the book of James. It's so, so good.
It is.
So much wisdom. But also, you know, in chapter one there, as you were highlighting at the very beginning, but one of the end result of counting it all joy when you go through various trials is, so at the end, it says, so that we are complete and lacking in nothing.
That's right.
And at the end of the day, it's all a part of the process, as you stated, of growth. And one of those is the maturation. It's the maturity.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, we can either get mad or we can get mature.
Yes,
I
love that.
So our differences, our expectations, all of those can either make us mad, where we're actually turning against each other, mm-hmm. as opposed to turning toward each other to work together.
Yes.
Through these things, so we can grow and mature in our relationship, because that's what God desires. And so our goal is to become more and more like Christ. And so when we learn to work together and we learn to articulate and communicate these important areas, so that ultimately we can get down to that level of sharing our feelings, our emotions, what's important, our needs. And we can honor that about each other and work towards meeting those needs. And we'll talk more about this in the next episode. Mm-hmm. I just think it's important for any couple, no matter where they are in whatever stage, phase of the relationship they're in, expectations are always going to be changing, but we always have to be growing, in the midst of the expectations.
Yes.
Because life happens.
Yeah.
We have to pivot, adjust, adapt, conform to all of the things that are going on around us. And so rather than resenting that or seeing that as a threat, mm-hmm. or whatever, at the end of the day, we just have to work towards growing and becoming who God desires for us to be in our marriage.
Because that's fun.
Absolutely.
That is fun.
You bet.
To win at at life in your marriage.
Absolutely.
It's a joy. It is fun to grow together, especially when you can come together like Amos talks about. How can two people
walk together
unless they agree?
Yeah.
And you can have two strong wills come together and create a strong, healthy marriage if you agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's all about being unified, coming together in that area of oneness as a husband and wife. Leave, cleave. It's the oneness. It's the spiritual unity, the relational unity that God has for us.
Yes.
Well, hey, we hope this has been helpful and practical in your relationship. And most importantly, we want to help you win. We want to help you win in life, with your kids, in your marriage, and most importantly, in your family. We believe when the family wins, everybody wins. And so we trust this episode has been helpful. Share it with some friends. Make sure to rate, review, send us a DM. We'd love to answer questions you might have and address various topics that maybe is heavy on your heart, something on your mind that you would love for us to speak into. Until next time, we look forward to hearing from you and continue to pass this information and these episodes on to friends that you know.